Hello, and welcome to this episode of Nucleus Wealth in Power, where I go looking for what the good life is and how finance can support and empower us in achieving that. So we're back to property today with an episode for the first home buyers in your life. We know that property affordability has been an issue in Australia for quite a while now, but luckily there are some measures from the government that can help out on this front. So today we're going to explore the First Home Super Saver Scheme with my colleague and senior financial advisor at Nucleus Wealth, Sam Kerr. Welcome to the show, Sam.
Thanks, Shelley. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you. Before we get started, though, I'd like to start in the spirit of reconciliation and acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to the land, sea, and community. I pay my respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. And before we start, or before I forget, a quick reminder that please keep in mind that any advice in this show is general in nature and won't necessarily relate to your personal circumstances. If you have any questions or would like to discuss anything, you can get in touch with us at Nucleus Wealth on 1300 623 863 or contact at nucleuswealth.com. And if you haven't already, subscribe and click the notification bell to be notified when Nucleus Wealth goes live or has a new webinar to watch. Or of course, if you prefer, you can find us on your favorite podcast platform. So Sam, the First Home Super Saver Scheme, it sure is a mouthful. Can you start off by telling us what it is?
So, as you mentioned, housing affordability in Australia, it's through the roof. So it's very expensive and often difficult for first home buyers. So the Australian government brought this scheme in 1st of July 2017 to try help first home buyers get into the market.
And have we seen any analysis as to whether it has helped?
Well, yeah, there's some tax savings. So instead of saving for your first home outside of super with after-tax dollars, you can use the concessional tax rates within super to save for your first home that way. So there's definitely some benefits, some tax savings there.
Okay, fantastic. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about how it works? And I think you've got a few examples that you can run us through too.
Yeah, absolutely. So how it works is, I briefly mentioned before, instead of saving outside of super for your first home, you can use super to save for your first home. And instead of paying tax at your marginal tax rate and then using those after-tax dollars, you can save through super and pay tax at the concessional tax rate of 15%.
Can I just jump in there with a question, Sam? When
sure.
you say that you can use super to save, how does that actually work in terms of details? How do you make those savings go into the superannuation account?
Okay, so there's quite a few complexities around it. So you should always speak to your financial advisor before actually entering into this. You can't use your SG contribution, so you can't use the contributions your employer makes.
Okay.
But you can use all the concessional contributions. So you can use salary sacrifice. You can use personal deductible contributions, so any voluntary contributions, and you can also use non-concessional contributions. But there's less benefit from that because that's savings with after-tax dollars going to super. But the real benefits where you're using the concessional contributions, so you're getting the difference between your marginal tax rate and the super contributions tax rate.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, I think I cut you off. You're about to jump into an example.
Yeah, so if we look at the slide we've got up there, you can see the marginal tax rates for this current tax year, 2021-2022. So we've got an example here of someone earning $80,000 per year. So that's around about the average income in Australia at the moment. And if you're in that tax bracket, you can see you're paying 32.5 cents in the dollar, 32.5 cents tax in the dollar. And then plus you've got the 2% Medicare levy there. So you can save up to $15,000 per year into the First Home Super Saver with a maximum of $30,000 in total. So you can't put more than $15,000 in a year. So if you're earning that $80,000 per year, you're paying 32.5 cents in the dollar plus the 2% Medicare levy, which takes your total tax paid to 34.5 cents in every dollar. And so instead of paying that with the after-tax dollars, you can use super and only pay tax at 15 cents in the dollar. Mm-hmm. So you're effectively saving 19.5 cents in every dollar that you save within super compared to saving outside of super. You follow me so far?
Yes. So let me just clarify a few things. So if I make concessional contributions, would that typically comes out of, so if it's salary sacrifice, is that before tax pay? Typically?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think through because in my head I'm sort of imagining, okay, I get my pay and then I typically, if you weren't doing it in the scheme, you'd put some money in a different account or something to save for your house. But in this case, then I'm thinking, okay, I get my pay and then I want to do a concessional contribution. So I have my pay and I send some money into the account. But obviously that's after tax. And so then this works out at the end of the financial year is that you fill out the form to say this was a concessional contribution. The DATO will receive that. And then when you do your annual tax return, they'll do all of this and you'd get some sort of a return if you're on a tax return, sorry, if you're on $80,000 per annum and you had made your concessional contribution out of after-tax income.
Yeah, that's right. So the example I'm working through here is for a personal deductible contribution. So that's when you're voluntary saving into super and you're claiming the tax benefit for that.
And but so is the example that I just gave, if you're making a voluntary deductible contribution, that would typically be out of your after tax salary that you get paid every month, fortnight or week. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And you can do it with salary sacrifice and your employer will calculate all the tax savings on your behalf and do
okay.
that on
so
your
you
behalf.
Okay, so you get the tax
but you get the same
immediately then.
Yeah, you get the same net effect at the end of the day, whether you're using salary sacrifice or personal deductible contributions. Okay. So I'll continue on. So if you're getting a 19.5 cent tax saving for every dollar that you save through super by using this First Home Super Saver, so the total tax savings is $5,850 compared to saving outside super. That's if you take advantage of the whole $30,000. And plus there's your super fund will calculate some associated earnings on that money as well. But that's
so do you get to take the earnings back out that you've earned on it?
Yes.
Okay, right. So I also have a question about that. So presumably if you make the contribution, the super fund is just going to invest that in whatever settings you've told them to invest your money in. So do you need to factor that into this? Because obviously markets can be volatile. You know, we had quite a big sell-off in the ASX on Friday. So you can potentially see if you're invested in shares, that $30,000 could go down.
Yeah, that's a great question. When you're younger, you generally have a higher exposure to growth assets. So like you say, you're exposed to the ups and downs of the markets. And in general, we tend to not recommend a high exposure for growth assets if you're saving for something like your home. So your time horizons are sort of 2 to 3 years. So there is a way to sort of counteract that. You can set up another super fund and just save directly into that for your first home to take advantage of the first home super saver. Mm-hmm. That way, and you can invest it in more conservative assets if that's what you want to do, and more defensive assets, so cash and bonds, which people tend to typically do if they're saving for their first home. So that's a way you can mitigate the risk of market exposure with the growth assets and the volatility associated with that.
Set up another super account? Is there any way you can do it in your existing structure? Because obviously you're the second account, there's more administration fees more attached fees. To that. Yeah,
that's right. That's that. Most people just use their primary super account to take advantage of this, okay. And that's the simplest way. But if you wanted to sort of mitigate that risk of having that exposure, high exposure to the growth assets, you can set up that other super fund. But yeah, most people do just use their main super account for this.
Okay. So an alternative I can conceptualize, because I know we can do it ourselves, is you can call your super fund and perhaps those deposits into your super account could be put into a different investment from what the rest of it is in.
Yeah, that's an option for some super funds as well.
Okay, thanks, Sam.
Yeah. On the example before, the total tax savings per person is $5,850 if you're earning about $80K per year. And if you're saving with a partner, the total tax savings, if you both take advantage of the full $30,000, it would be about $11,700 you'd be better off compared to saving outside super, which is pretty significant. That can go towards paying some of your stamp duty or, if you have to get lender's mortgage insurance, that can mitigate that cost as well.
Absolutely. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right. And the higher, the more you earn, the greater your tax benefit for this is going to be, because if you're in a higher marginal tax rate and the super contributions tax rate's flat at 15%, you're going to get a bigger tax saving per dollar that you save into super.
Right. Okay. So I think you have actually example running through that one. Do we want to have a look at that one too?
Sure. I'll try to run through this one a little bit quicker. So you can save a maximum of $15,000 per year. So $30,000 in total. So if you're earning $150,000 per year, you are in the tax band where you're paying 37 cents in the dollar, plus you've got the 2% Medicare levy. So your total tax savings will be 39 cents in the dollar minus 15 cents in the dollar, the concessional super tax rate. And so it's a 24 cent saving for every dollar saved through super this way, times the maximum of $30,000, which is a $7,200 tax saving compared to saving for your first home outside of super. So then again, if you're doing this with your partner, the total tax savings is about $14,400.
Wow. So that's when we're looking at a couple, that's where they would each make the $30,000 contribution to their own personal super accounts. And that's why we're doubling it, essentially.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, yeah. As per the previous slide, it is a lot of money. So, this all seems pretty good. Are there any risks around this that people should be aware of?
Yeah, so there's a few complexities around getting the money out of super. So to put the money into super, you don't actually have to let your super fund know that this is going towards the first home super saver. They'll know that when you actually go to take the money out. It can take a while to get the money out. So it can take anywhere between 15 to 25 business days. And you have to give your super fund a first home super saver determination to let them know that you want to get that money out. You can either get the money out before you sign a contract or after you sign a contract. And there's a few different complexities around that. So always best to talk to your financial advisor first. But when you get your money out, you can have up to 12 months to find a home. And then if you don't find your home within that first 12 months, you can extend that for another 12 months. So you've effectively got up to 2 years to find that home. There's a few requirements. So you must have never owned real property in Australia before. So like the name says, it's got to be your first home. You have to be at least 18 years old. And yeah, the first. So if you've owned property before, it can't. You can't take advantage of it. Listed property in Australia is okay. So if you buy that on a stock exchange, that doesn't count. So you can still take advantage of it. And there's a few other instances where you can take advantage of it. If like, for example, if you've suffered financial hardship and you have had a home in the past, but you lost your home because of that, you can actually take advantage of this in the future.
Oh, well, that's great. It does, though, sound like there are a few complexities to it. And so you definitely want to go in with your eyes wide open, understanding the process. So if people want to find out more, do you have any suggestions on where they can go to do so?
Yeah, so the ATO website, if you just go to their website and Google First Home Super Saver Scheme, that'll come up with all the info. Mm-hmm. And the scheme, that's the main source of info. There's lots of stuff online where you can find out all the details, but ATO is the best one. And the scheme has actually been really successful, and people have been using it. So the government's actually expanding the scheme. So from the 1st of July 2022, each person will actually be able to save $50,000 within super to take advantage of this. So as a couple, that'd be $100,000, and the tax savings are going to be magnified because of the greater amount you can put in there, which is obviously a good thing.
That's great. That's really exciting. So if you have saved $30,000 by the end of this financial year, which ends on the 30th of June 2022, does that mean that you're then allowed to save another $20,000 on top of that? So there'll be 15, I guess, and then five in the next 2 years.
Yes, I believe so. I'm not across. I don't think they've released all the details around it, but there is the headline that okay. Yeah, it's going to be expanded to 50,000 per person.
Fantastic. So definitely one for people to watch out for and find out about. Mm-hmm. All right, Sam. Do you think we've missed anything?
That's a good question. I think we've covered most things. And this is just a post-recording note. I just wanted to make clear one of the risks around the First Home Super Saver, and that is when you go to take money out of the fund. So I just want to stress the importance of talking to your financial advisor or your accountant, because one of the issues is when you request a release under the First Home Super Saver Scheme, if your release is cancelled, you'll not be able to apply again in the future. So your money will be locked up in super until you reach retirement. So you really want to get this correct. So your house dreams don't go up in smoke there. So I hope you found this information useful, and speak to you again soon. I think we've covered everything.
Great. As the words came out of my mouth, I realized I had one more question. Concessional contributions. So do you want to just give a brief summary of them? And are there limits to them? I know that there were limits to them and they changed some of the rules. Sometimes they were annual limits or lifetime limits. Is there anything particularly around those concessional contributions that people listening out should be aware of?
Great question. So concessional contributions, they receive a special tax rate. So the concessional contribution tax rate is 15 cents in the dollar. And each year, each individual can save up to $27,500 into super, taking advantage of that concessional contribution tax rate. And yeah, that's recently gone up just this tax year from $25,000. So that gives you an opportunity to get a little bit more into super through that concessional tax rate there. And then non-concessional contributions, they're saving into super with after-tax dollars. And you can use that for the for this first home super saver. But you're not really, you'll just get the associated earnings. So the ATO calculates a set amount, a deemed amount that you'll earn on those contributions in there. So you can use that too, but there's not as much benefit of as that one.
Okay. So you really want to be using your concessional contributions to get this the tax savings that we talk about in the slides.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Sam. This has been fantastic. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Shelley. Yeah, it's great. Great to be here.
And so for those who are interested in following Sam more, you can get him weekly at 12:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time or summertime on the Nucleus Investment Insights podcast, where he sits down to chat with our head of investments, Damien Klassen, and a wide range of people about investments and how we're positioning our portfolios at Nucleus Wealth. So get him either live on YouTube or afterwards on the replay on podcasts. Rightio, so before I say a goodbye for today, if you have any feedback about this episode or any potential future podcast topics, please let me know in the YouTube comments section or send me an email at contact@nucleuswealth.com. Also, did you know that Nucleus Wealth offers personalized investment portfolios and limited investment advice? You can find out more at nucleuswealth.com or give us a call on 1300-623-863. So thanks today to my producer, Jaden, for his work. And finally, if you know anyone who you think would get something out of this episode, please share it with them and help us to grow our show. Until next time, thank you.